Shiva, Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnuraradhanam Param, Tasmat Purataram Devi, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, from the Padma Purana. Although in the Vedas there are recommendations for worshipping person, and Lord Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. The Vedic principles of the Varnashram institution are meant to organize society to prepare everyone to worship Lord Vishnu. Varnashram acharapata purushena parapuman Vishnu rara jute panta nanya tat toshakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Purana 389. One must ultimately worship Lord Vishnu, and for that purpose the Varnashram system organizes society into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, knew how things are to be done. He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is the sign of full surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Marabi Rakobi Ya Icha Tohara Nitya Dasa Prati Tua Adhikara. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by his orders in all circumstances, whether he kills one or gives one protection. Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. Amagyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Yajanti Yajyam Kratubir Yamadrita Bhavanta Amnaya Vidhanako Vidaha Sa Eva Vishnur Parados Duvaparo Rasyam Yamushmai Kritim Ipsitamune. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. We're continuing with the words of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj is speaking to his spiritual master, or so-called spiritual master, as Prabhupada calls him in his purport. His spiritual master has, Shukracharya, brought up different arguments on why he shouldn't go through with his promise to give Vamanadeva 3 paces of land. So we've gone through those different. Last time I gave class, I summarized his different arguments. So here, Bali Maharaj, in this verse and the previous verse, on Friday's verse, he says to Shukracharya, by giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. So in this verse, in the verse I just read, and in today's verse, he speaks of Shukracharya respectfully, and he addresses him, especially in today's verse, he says, persons like you who know, great saintly persons like you, he calls him, completely aware of Vedic principles. So essentially what he's saying is, you're supposed to be a learned Brahmana, you already know all of these things. Why do I have to tell you this? Basically, you might say, reading between the lines, this is what he's implying. He's saying, you're a great devotee, you're a great sage, a greatly learned person, you know the Vedic principles, so you know that one has to surrender to Lord Vishnu in all circumstances, so that's what I'm going to do. That's what I plan to do. Whatever Lord Vishnu has in mind for me, it doesn't matter, because I have to surrender to him. That's the law of the universe, and that's what the Vedas tell us. So the first point here is that one has to surrender to Lord Vishnu. Why Lord Vishnu? And that's what Prabhupada speaks about in the purport initially. That the Vedas say we have to surrender to Lord Vishnu specifically. He quotes this verse in the beginning of the purport, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Usually this verse is quoted for the second part of the verse. This verse says that among all of the personalities to worship, the highest worship is for worship of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Worship of Lord Vishnu is supreme. Then the second part of the verse says, but even better than that is worshiping the devotees of Lord Vishnu, the Tadiyanam, which means things connected to Lord Vishnu or persons connected to Lord Vishnu. So this verse is often quoted to make the second point, that how important it is to worship the Vaishnavas. But here Prabhupada quotes it for the first two lines, Aradhananam Sarvesham, of all the kinds of Aradham, worship, Arti, Vishnu Aradhanam Param, worship of Lord Vishnu is the supreme. So then Prabhupada says that in many places in the Vedic scriptures, we'll find worship of the demigods recommended. Now it's a very interesting verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is instructing Sanatan Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya quotes this verse from the Padma Purana. Vyamohaya characharas cha jagatas te te purana agamas. So the first line is, in order to bewilder the living, moving and non-moving living entities in the universe, Vyamohaya characharas cha jagatas te te purana agamas, the Puranas and Agamas, which means the Vedic literature, different branches of the Vedic literature, Vedas and Puranas and so on. Tam tam evahi devatam paramikam. They present different devas as the supreme. Tam tam evahi paramikam. Then it says, jalpantu kalpavadi. It says, let them go on saying those things until the end of the universe. I don't know if this is meant to be sarcastic or what, but it's interesting that it says that. Let them go on saying this till the end of the universe. Why? Siddhante punareka eva Bhagavan Vishnu samasta agama. Because the Siddhanta is that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan Vishnu samasta agama. Vyapareshu vivechana vyatikaram niteshu nishchiyate. The last line says, that's the conclusion that you have to come to, the unfailing conclusion that you come to, if you look at the whole picture. If you study all of the Vedas very carefully and you see the whole picture, then you have to come to this conclusion. Siddhante punareka eva Bhagavan Vishnu samastaram. That they're all actually saying together that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Prabhupada, to make the point about worshipping Lord Vishnu, he uses an interesting verse that he quotes here. He points to Varnashram. So not only do the Vedas, remember this verse I quoted and other ones, actually there's this other verse about worshipping Lord Vishnu, Dvabhuta Sargaloka Ismin, Daiva Asura Evacha, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva Asura Stadviparya. It says that there are two kinds of beings within the universe, the Devas and the Asuras. Vishnu Bhakti Smrito Daiva, the Devas are Vishnu Bhaktas, they're devotees of Lord Vishnu. Asuras tad viparya. Viparya means the opposite. And opposite to them means those who aren't devotees of Lord Vishnu. They're called the Asuras. So that verse also, I think that's from the Vishnu Purana. And then this other verse, Prabhupada quotes here about Varnashram. Now this verse, actually Prabhupada uses this verse a lot to talk about worship of Lord Vishnu. Varnashram acharvacha purushena purakumam Vishnu arajate. Panta nanya tatoshakaranam. Varnashram is meant for worshipping Lord Vishnu. So this is very significant because, again, there are scriptures that promote different devas, worship of different devas. They recommend worship of different devas. And so one may think, well, what's the conclusion? So this verse is important because this verse is about the organization of everyone in all of human society. So this verse says that all of human society is centered on this principle of worshipping Lord Hari, or worshipping Lord Vishnu. Vishnu arajite panta. Nanya tat doshakaranam. There's no other way to please Lord Vishnu than through the Varnashram system. Actually, this is, you can see how this verse, you can take it from different angles. Usually this verse is quoted for this reason, to say that Varnashram is very important, because the goal of life is to worship Lord Vishnu, so Varnashram is important. But another way to look at it is that this shows that worship of Lord Vishnu is the central thing, because it's for all of human society. Everyone in human society lives within the Varnashram system according to the Vedic structure, and that's for worshiping Lord Vishnu. So then, another important point about this is that actually there's just, this verse has always been in my mind, this few lines from Srila Prabhupada's purport. At the very end of the last verse of the sixth chapter, 647 of Bhagavad Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham yadgatin antaratmanam shradhavan bhajite yomam same yuktatamo mataha. And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So in the purport to this verse, the verse contains the word bhajate, shradhavan bhajate yomam. So bhajya. So bhajya means worship. So Prabhupada talks about that, the meaning of this word. Actually, the word bhakti, the root of the word bhakti is bhaj, this bhajate. So Prabhupada says, the word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the word bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Bhaj means, worship means to adore or to show respect and honor to the worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this line here, this is to me a memorable line. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or demigod and may be called discourteous, but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. So this is the idea here is that here we're talking about worship of Lord Vishnu. So there can be different motives in doing that. One motive can be, well, the Vedas just say I have to do it. I'm a follower of the Vedas. If I accept the Vedas as authority. And another reason is that Vishnu, or if we just say God, you have to accept the authority of God. You can say whether you like it or not, because that's just the nature of things. Everyone knows the argument about why do bad things happen to good people? This whole philosophical, theological problem that people have. People, they think, well, if God is not good, then I'm not going to worship him. Or I don't believe in a God who can be like that. But the fact is, it doesn't matter what he is. He's powerful. He's got the power. He's in charge. He can be a tyrant. You still have to follow him. Just like if you live in a country and you don't like the government, that doesn't matter. You have the power. He has the power. The government has the power. You have to follow. So this is another reason to serve God or worship God, because you have to. There's nothing you can do about it. He's in control. So that sort of applies to this point being made in this verse today, where Bali Maharaj is saying, whatever he does to me, I still have to worship him. He's Lord Vishnu. He's God. I still have to carry this out. Now we have the idea that an interesting part of this whole debate about the argument of the problem of evil, as it's called, is that people have this sense that God must be good. How could God not be good? That this is the problem. He said either he's all good or he's all powerful. So actually some philosophers, they come up with the idea that, well, this is a given that he's all good. He has to be good. So maybe he's not all powerful. Certain things are out of his control, because the two, one thing can't be there. So they never think, well, maybe not, God isn't all loving. Because that conception is that there's there seems to be something wrong with that, which is interesting, actually, when you think about it. Why do we think that way? Why do we think that God must be good? There's something within us. There's something within us. There's a drive for goodness within all of us, or a drive for perfection. We want to improve ourselves. We want to be better. We have this somehow within the core of our being, this sense. I think it's in St. Paul's epistle somewhere where it talks about how the law of God is written within the heart. So there's somehow we have this indelible, eternal impression within us that goodness is desirable. Perfect goodness, the ideal of perfect goodness, we have this sense that it must exist. We ourselves like goodness. We like good things. We respect good people. Even in this age where, you know, the very materialistic times, still someone like Mother Teresa, she was so honored. People thought this is very good to be like this, to be so charitable and self-sacrificing. These qualities are still appreciated. So we think that if it's there in some sense in us, there must be some being who possesses it in full. So God, there must be a God, a perfection of that, those ideals that we strive for, or we respect at least. But whether God is like that or not, we still have to follow Him. Now, of course, another motivation for serving God, the highest motivation, is not this kind of fear. Because there is a sense in which the side of God that we see is not very attractive. Because they're just like here, Prabhupada quotes this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says, I'm going to serve Krishna, whether he kills me or protects me, marobi rakobi. That because I'm his eternal servant, so whether he kills me or protects me, I have to serve him. Well, the fact is he does kill us. He runs this material world, and this world is nothing but a killing machine. There's death and death and death. This is Marcha Loka. He does kill us. He has the power to kill us. Now, of course, in one sense, he doesn't kill anybody because everybody is eternal. But from our point of view, he's repeatedly killing us. Kalosmi, he says in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. So this is the face of God the only face of God that people see is death. That fearful aspect of God that's killing everybody. That power that we can't resist. So that's very frightening. So people may not acknowledge that that's God, but it is a supreme power that they can't overcome. So that's very fearful. There's not much we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it when death comes. So that motivation may be there. There may be a kind of fear motivating people also to worship God or follow the rules. We may also be in that category where we're inspired because we don't want to burn in hell or whatever. We don't want to suffer karmic reactions and take another birth and have to suffer repeated birth and death in this material world. But the highest motivation is simply love. And that's what we're seeing here, it seems to be, in Bali Maharaj. First of all, Prabhupada indicates that because he says that he was perfectly trained, perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is one of the Mahajans, and he trained. We were hearing here from Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj was actually trained by him. So trained in devotional service means what? In bhakti. He has bhakti. He has love for Krishna. And that's why he wants to serve him. He knows this is Lord Vishnu, or at least he suspects it. And he's saying, well, I have to serve him. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm his eternal servant. That's what bhakti is. This is the eternal truth. And out of love for him, I have to serve him. So this is especially, of course, this is our highest understanding. And this is the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, that Krishna is my Lord. And not that I just surrender in a certain sense to the inevitable, because he has the power, but I trust that whatever he's going to do is motivated by love. You can just accept the position, well, I'm powerless to fight against God. Or you can think, no, whatever he does is motivated by love. So I accept. He's smarter than I am, obviously. He has infinite love. So whatever he does, I accept. So this we can see is coming through in the enlightened words of Bali Maharaj in this verse today. So I'll read the translation again. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Any questions, comments? Vani Bhushan Prabhu?
I have a couple of questions. One is the old standard one. This recommends adhering to the principles of the Vedas in relation to Vanashram. And is the essence of the principle simply service?
Is the essence of what principle?
The principle of adhering to the Vedic version of Vanashram. That the word principle is there. So is that the essential principle? Because I think we get caught up with occupation and station in life, and we look at it from that perspective as opposed to the overview. So I'm assuming that the term principle refers to the overview perspective on Vanashram. Is that correct?
Yeah, obviously the worship of Lord Vishnu is more important than the specific details of the varnas and ashrams. Yeah, and so that's why for a devotee's already worshiping Vishnu, so he doesn't have to be so concerned about the specifics of the varna and ashram. That's why, in fact, it's said, I said that Vaishnava is transcendental. They may play certain roles in varna and ashram, but they've already achieved the goal of the varna ashram, which is worshiping Lord Vishnu. So that's the important thing. Yeah, that's the essence of it. And if you perform all the rules and regulations of varna and ashram without worshiping Lord Vishnu, then that's a waste. It's like that verse that says, how does it go? Anyway, the idea that you don't need to perform austerity if you're already a devotee of Krishna, and if you're a devotee of Krishna, then you don't need to perform austerity.
So the concept of prescribed duties,
yeah,
they're usually delineated, but I was thinking that what's prescribed, what's written way before all the rest, they simply serve the Supreme Lord.
Yeah. Varnashram, of course, Varnashram is also part of the material world, and worship of Lord Vishnu is eternal. Right. Bhakti, Bhagavan.
The other question is, it seems as if Bali Maharaj is completely disqualified as a demon, because the description of a demon is disobedient and denying the existence of God, and he has such incredible conclusive realization, and is speaking from that. So could you give us
a little called, there's also the sense where he's called an Asura because he's in an Asura dynasty. He comes in that family. So he obviously is not a demon. He's one of the Mahajans. So, but he's in the demon dynasty, so he's sometimes called that. Addressed just like anybody is, just like we're called Americans. Well, we're not really Americans. But Prabhupada would even call us American boys and girls. But we're not Americans. We're devotees. We're eternal spirit souls. So, in different contexts, we speak in different levels, you can say. So he's sometimes identified in that way, although obviously he's not an asura. Something else? Yes.
It's interesting to note how people have a tendency to believe in God if it fits their description of God. Mm-hmm. And when they meet an instance where it's beyond their scope of understanding, they automatically reject God, like you were mentioning in class. If I believe that God is all-powerful, then I cannot think that God is all-good, or vice versa. So what would you say is the ingredients that's missing for people to keep their faith in God, even when they encounter a situation that gives them the information that God is much more than they actually were able to conceive of up to this point? What's the ingredients that's missing?
Well, I think there are a lot of different ingredients. Of course, ultimately it requires faith, and faith is nurtured in the association of devotees, in people who have faith. Why was Prabhupada so effective in what he did? Because he had not just faith, but realized faith. He had realization and so much conviction when you read Prabhupada's books, there's so much conviction there on every page that it's infectious. You become, it changes you because you think, boy, this person really, it's not like he's saying maybe, this is absolute fact the way he's speaking. So that has great power. Of course, that's good salesmanship too, isn't it? When you're trying to sell something, if you believe in your product, then you can convince people to buy it. So obviously Prabhupada believed in his product. So that's really the essence of holding on to faith in God is living with faithful people, associating with faithful people, hearing from the right sources. That's why we're cautioned not to hear from others who present other arguments. Maybe they're convinced also. There are many convinced scientists out there too. So it can be dangerous to hear atheistic arguments, especially if we have komala shraddha, if we have weak faith. We have to hear powerful, realized arguments from self-realized souls. Okay, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.